Lee, meanwhile, fared worse in determining what Hooker was up to. Scouts at one point warned him the Union general planned to freeze the rebel army at its position around Fredericksburg, while federal troops on the York River to the south tried to capture Richmond. But the intelligence was contradictory. Hooker's cavalry had improved its capability to screen the Union army's moves, and the general, with Sharp's help, had imposed strict security measures. Lee had to be sure that Richmond remained safe while his army moved north. He did not know that a request he sent out by flag signal for information on Yankee movements ended up in Hooker's headquarters tent because a Union signal station intercepted the message. Lee had no intelligence staff, and his espionage operation had become hit and miss. Longstreet requisitioned gold coins from Richmond and gave them to Henry Thomas Harrison, a Confederate scout, to pay for his infiltrating the federal government in Washington and sending back intelligence to the army while it moved north. Otherwise, Jeb Stuart had to be Lee's eyes and ears. June 1st. As June began, McEntee began clashing regularly with Hooker's cavalry commander, Alfred Pleasanton. A dandy who sported a waxed mustache and straw hat in the field, Pleasanton showed a pattern of failing to follow orders. He presumptuously offered McClellan strategic advice rather than sticking to his job of scouting. A shameless self-promoter, at Chancellorsville he made outlandish claims about his saving the Union army from defeat. Hooker, nevertheless, rewarded him with command of his cavalry corps, which soon grew to 11,500 horsemen. Such a unit served as the primary information gatherer while the army was on the move. But Pleasanton, whose men were prone to pass along inaccurate, unsubstantiated, or misleading intelligence, failed to detect Lee's invasion north until it was well underway. He never took seriously the valuable resource he had in Sharp's Information Bureau, treating its spies not as collaborators, but as competitors to be ignored. Pleasanton made life miserable for McEntee, whose team operated with the general's cavalry somewhat independently, but still needed its cooperation. Despite Hooker and Butterfield ordering them to do so, Pleasanton's men refused to send McEntee the prisoners, deserters, and civilians they rounded up so they could be properly interrogated by his agents. The result? Misinformation or little information was extracted from the interviews Pleasanton's soldiers conducted. McEntee was at his wit's end and routinely complained to Sharp about Pleasanton shutting him out. Patrick thought Pleasanton was arrogant and stupid. Butterfield became frustrated, and even Hooker, who personally liked his cavalry commander, grew angry.